Hello there. You're listening to the Pre-Post Film Review. I'm Matt Stevenson.
And I'm John Asquith. If this is your first time listening to the Pre-Post Film Review, the way we run things here is we talk about a movie over two distinct time periods. The first time period, the first little section you're going to hear is us talking about a film's trailer, in which we analyze the trailer, talk about our expectations, maybe make some predictions, all of that sort of thing. And then the second part of the podcast is a film review. After we've seen the movie, we come back and record a full review. We jump straight into spoilers, so beware there. Here be spoilers. And that's how we do it here. And today we're going to be talking about the new Edgar Wright film, Baby Driver, which it's always a big deal when a new Edgar Wright movie comes out, Matt.
Sure is.
So let's go on to our trailer thoughts for Baby Driver. Ram!
There he is.
Hey, baby.
I was listening to music all the time.
He had an accident when he was a kid. He's still got a hum in the drum. Plays music to drown it out.
That's what makes him the best.
Aren't you mysterious?
Maybe.
Okay, we just watched the teaser, I guess you'd say, for Baby Driver. 1 minute long. We're recording this at the point where there are more trailers out that are longer, but we've been sort of purposely not watching those. So we see the least amount of the film as possible before we go in. But I feel like this teaser gives a good sort of indication for things. So what are your thoughts, Matt? And if briefly you want to talk about your history with Edgar Wright and what you think
sure.
of his work.
Sure, yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's no secret that I'm excited for this film. I think on our year wrap-up or best of the year last year, I listed this as my most anticipated film of 2017. So I'm obviously super pumped. In general, I guess I've loved every single thing that Edgar Wright has done. I don't think he's put a foot wrong. Some have been slightly better than others, I suppose, but honestly, on rewatching every single film, his films are so rich in ways that you don't sort of realize on first viewing, and he's got such technical filmmaking talent and craftsmanship that it's like clockwork. It's sort of unrivaled. I can't think of anyone else that's like works the way he does, and they're all so fun and funny and are so full of heart, and I love them all. So I'm super super excited for this. The trailer itself, I think it's a fucking great trailer. I think, admittedly, I'd hyped this film up because it's been so long since The World's End, which was his previous film, I think. And he sort of was meant to do Ant-Man and dropped out, and there's been all this stuff in between. The hype in my mind for a new Edgar Wright film was almost, you know, unreachable. No matter what he did, it could never meet what my expectations were. So I think this trailer was a bit of a good reality check and make me realize that Edgar Wright makes Edgar Wright films. Like, this is just going to be a fun action film. It's not going to be some philosophical masterpiece. Not that his other films are, but you know, just how excited I was for it. I think on a personal level, I really appreciate that I watched this before seeing the film, because it's kind of reminded me what kind of films he makes. But on a sort of filmmaking level, or a trailer, technical editing perspective, I think it's a great trailer. And this is exactly, if the film is like this trailer, I am so pumped, because this is exactly what I wanted the film to be, right? Like, the whole Edgar Wright's been so good at sort of matching music to action and editing, and the whole story of this film is about a getaway driver who times his getaways to music. So presumably the whole film, I mean, I think a while ago Edgar Wright posted on like his Instagram or something the first page of the Baby Driver script, and it's like, it's just a one little line saying that this is a film that is all in sync with music. Like the whole film is about being made to music. And if it's as like snappy and punchy and as fun as this trailer is, I'm so fucking pumped. Like just the way he like edits to the beat and the way the like shoes click on the floor to the beat. And I don't know. It's hard to describe without seeing the trailer because it's so kinetic and energetic. I think it just looks so fucking great and it looks so fun and practical, like practical stunts. I feel like the final shot in this trailer when he kind of like spins the car down the alleyway between two trucks, that looks like they did that, unless it's really good CGI. I mean, looks like they pulled that stunt off. And I mean, the cast's great. I'm just going to gush over this. Maybe I'm too biased to give like a critical opinion on this film, but I'm so fucking excited, John. I'm so excited. I can't wait to jump forward in time when we've seen this film so we can talk about it. So I'm pumped. I'm really pumped. What about you?
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited for this too. I love Edgar Wright and I love his movies. I'm probably not up at the same level as you in terms of, you know, absolute adoration.
Fanboyism, yeah.
But I'm pretty close, particularly, I mean, you know, with Shaun of the Dead, I think is a perfect film from first frame to the end. I think it's flawless. And his other films are close to that. I'm a big fan as well. I'm excited for this. I think you make such a good point about how the craftsmanship of this is like... It's like the culmination of everything else he's done. You know, it's like distilled Edgar Wright, you know.
It's like distilling his sensibility. Yeah, exactly, into one film. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like a exercise almost of his film just for his style of filmmaking, which is, you know, the marriage of music and editing, really. I mean, he's a great... director in terms of what he gets out of his cast and cinematography, but really his strength is editing, I think, and script writing too. And this is just like the perfect combination of those things, or it seems to be based on the trailer. So I'm very excited. I think the only sort of maybe trepidation I would have is this is perhaps less of a comedy than his previous work and more focused on being like a good action movie, which I'm fine with, but I wonder if it's not just, you know, for me personally, my cup of tea to be watching car chases, you know, for 90 minutes or something like that. Now, that I'm just saying that, you know, more to play the devil's advocate sort of position, because I think he's going to find ways to make every sort of chase interesting. And I'm sure they sort of build up and each one is different. So, you know, that's like a minor sort of worry that I have going in, that perhaps it won't have that charm or heart and it will be more of a exercise in action filmmaking. Having said that, though, even these tiny snippets that we get in the trailer of the characters interacting seems like there is going to be good character stuff as well. So it's probably going to be fine.
I think that's a good point, though, because like at least the Cornetto trilogy, you had the Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Like they're such close friends in real life. You can feel that bond on screen, and it's kind of like palpable. But I guess my counter argument to that would be Scott Pilgrim. And I feel like I was in the same boat before Scott Pilgrim and was very skeptical if he could pull something else off without that core group of collaborators. And then Scott Pilgrim just blew me away with its crazy inventiveness and visual, like stunning visual flourishes. Like it was just nothing I ever expected. So I'm kind of hoping he can do the same thing. Not as showy as Scott Pilgrim was, with all its like effects and video gamey references. But if we can just do something similar in terms of an action film, I'd be happy. But yeah, I guess I agree that perhaps the character interactions won't be as strong. So I think the humour is there, and what gives me hope, not only is it kind of like a fun kinetic trailer, but specifically like right at the end when they kind of jump back in the car and he's like, oh, I got to start the song again or whatever, and he's like trying to like scroll back through the song before they can get driving. Like, that's, I think, good. That gives me hope that it is going to be funny and it's not just going to try and be like a serious action film.
For sure. Yeah, I don't think it'll be, this dark, gritty, serious movie. You know, you can just tell from this trailer. It's like, even the way it's shot, it's just not like that. I think it'll be fine. Just to mirror what you said too about being practical, it looks like they've done an amazing job of shooting these chases, you know, for real, and all these stunts. So, which is the appeal for a movie like this, obviously. So I'm super excited to see all of that stuff as well.
Yeah. Well, let's jump forward and listen to me as I'm heartbrokenly report how much I hated Baby Driver and broke all my dreams.
Oh, I hope not. I'd be so sad.
This could go either way. Like, the next part of this episode, I could be like ecstatic with joy, or just like really heartbroken and just sobbing in my chair.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just like two word answers to everything. Like, what did you think, Matt?
Sucks. This business is a world consisting of three things: money, sex, and action. One of these days, you're gonna get blood on your hands.
Wait, I gotta start the song over. Okay, go.
Baby, you tell me who dies.
No.
I'm driving. It's all the music you need, folks.
Okay, we've seen Edgar Wright's new film. And we're in the car ready for a getaway with a few babies, good baby boys.
Baby boys.
So we were both pretty excited for this. And mm-hmm. I think you in particular, Matt, mentioned that it was your most anticipated film of the year, which is a big call. But you are a big Edgar Wright fan, so fair enough. So did this movie live up to your expectations? And, you know, how do you think it goes as far as Edgar Wright's filmography is concerned?
Yeah, good question. So I'm a huge Edgar Wright fan. I think he's an amazing filmmaker. Just technically, I don't think there's anyone else sort of like him working at the moment. And it's just so fun. His films are so much fun to watch and often have sort of more depth than you initially might expect, particularly on first viewing. Like, they really hold up to repeat viewings, and there's sort of like a puzzle-like intricacy to a lot of his movies that sort of reveal themselves the more you watch them. So yeah, my expectations were through the roof for this. And I probably have to say that this is my least favourite Edgar Wright film of all the films that he's
Interesting.
Made. But having said that, I really fucking loved this film. Like, it was so much fun. I think there was sort of a simplicity to the sort of heist film plot, which I think he was going for. Like, he was almost going for a classical action film vibe with not sort of any twists or turns or anything unexpected. It's pretty by the numbers. Which I think was what held it back from being anything like up the top of the list of films, of his films that I love. And I did have some issues. Perhaps we can dive into some of the more specifics in a minute, but some of the earlier scenes and some of the romantic stuff didn't work for me as much early on in the film. But boy, howdy, does Edgar Wright know how to edit a film. Like, the way he uses music in this film is utterly incredible. And it was constantly surprising on a technical level. Almost every like scene, that every scene that appeared, there was some new way that he'd found to like utilize the music. Like I sort of had a moment, you know, a few seconds into the first gunfight when I realized all the like gunshots are to the beat of the song. It's just amazing. And I, you know, I had this moment in the cinema where I was like, this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this on screen, you know, like it's great. So yeah, I guess overall thought it was awesome, but perhaps lacking some of the depth. Though I do think there is some thematically interesting stuff that perhaps we can dive into in a bit, but lacking the depth and intricacy in terms of plot of some of his other films, but a whole lot of fun and really, really, really liked it. What about you, John? How did it hold up for you?
Yeah, so I went in very excited, but perhaps slightly cautious for those reasons we talked about in the trailer, that it might not be for me on a taste level with lots of car chases and it might not have some of the charm that Edgar Wright brings to all of his films. But I was blown away by this movie. I think it is freaking fantastic. And I just had such an enjoyable experience from beginning to end, from like the first frame to the last. It never lets up. It never overstays its welcome. It's constantly pushing forward. And as you say, surprising you with these new filmmaking techniques. Like every scene is different. Because my expectations were slightly lower, it exceeded them for me. And in terms of Edgar Wright's filmography, I'd put this above Scott Pilgrim and probably above The World's End. Right. This really, hit a sweet spot for me. I would agree that there's not much to it thematically, but there's enough there. There's enough character stuff to satisfy that side of things. Particularly, I quite enjoyed the romance between the two leads, Baby and Deborah. I agree that it's not. I mean, nothing in the movie is realistic, but it's all very stylized, and I was on board with that. Like so. They fall in love like within 2 seconds and they're talking to each other in this, you know, almost Tarantino-esque way of like song references and the way they kind of twirl around each other and stuff. You know, it's obviously not realistic, but if you're on board with it, which I was, you're in straight away. Mm. And I was so impressed by how he handled that. And I think this is like, an action musical, you know, close as you can get without them breaking out into song and actually tap dancing on the street.
They kind of almost do though. That
it comes
well.
So close. It comes so close. And I love that. It really flirts on that line of just like suddenly being a musical number. As you say, with the gunshots, when I first noticed that as well, I was just like grinning, you know, like that is so awesome. And it doesn't feel too choreographed, you know. It's not a musical, so it's not just like bang ba bang 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 bang, because there's other, you know what I mean, like that's such a weird way of saying it, but like that absolute choreographed sound and feel is almost there, but you've also got other things going on, so it still feels like a natural action scene. I don't know. I agree. The editing is just superb. I mean, what else would you expect from Edgar Wright? But this is what I really liked about this is compared to Scott Pilgrim, which was like Edgar Wright on steroids, I think, with the editing and the sort of ADD nature. This still has that, but it feels a lot more controlled to me. And I guess a lot of that comes with the fact that these are almost like musical numbers and they've been planned. And so all that creative energy really has to be honed to suit the music or to suit the action piece. And of course that's true for Scott Pilgrim, but I think in that sense, he could add whatever he wanted, you know, on a whim when he was planning those action sequences. And then the video gamey nature of Scott Pilgrim, it, you know, lends itself to being all over the place. But I what I really liked about this is just the craftsmanship of how well these action scenes are edited and shot. You know, that it's, you know what's going on. You get a spatial sense for where things are. And then on top of that, everything's timed to music. And then the stunts themselves, most of the time, are just really impressive.
Mm.
It's just a feat of filmmaking. And I think that's why it's so enjoyable and such a fun time. And I could recommend the movie to anyone because it really is made as most of his movies are, as a love letter to cinema. And in this case, to like action movies, but played a little more straight this time. You know, there's less of a wink-wink, nudge-nudge as maybe some of the Cornetto trilogy films, even though they're all very earnest as well. I was blown away. And weirdly, actually, while I was watching it, it reminds me, it's like the best 80s movie not made in the 80s. Like, it had a real 80s feel to it, to me, of this very simple concept. Lots of cars, lots of skidding around and gunfire, and also like these two teenagers that fall in love and just want to get away. You know, they just want to like play music really loudly in their car and drive off into the distance. And that feels like a very 80s sort of notion to me. I was in love with this movie. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you loved it as much as you did. You are so right. I mean, we've already sort of praised it on its editing, but I've seen it twice now. I went back and saw it a second time because I enjoyed it so much. And there's so much more that's edited to the music than the obvious stuff that you... I mean, there's like a lot of diegetic sounds, you know, sort of when he's first walking down the street. There's like the ATM machine and stuff is sort of like incorporated into the song, which is really awesome. Mm. But there's just like lots of little things, like even in the shootouts when he throws the grenade into the car, like just it like clicking into the cup holder is like on a sort of beat in the song, not like a big beat, but like one of the smaller beats. And like there's a shot of the headlights where he's driving down the road, and there's like the lines of the road, and it's like the lines go past on the beat, and then they go past like a weird square, and it's like a different instrument or something, like it changes slightly to the song. Like how they managed to choreograph like a piece of road to fit the beat of a song.
Yeah.
Not just the beat though, but like the actual instruments or whatever it was that changed.
Yeah.
Changed up at that moment. Like it's so friggin' impressive. Mm. It's mind blowing. But you're right, I think there's also like there's an innocence or something to this movie that maybe gives it that 80s vibe that you're sort of comparing it to. That didn't sort of occur to me at the time, but hearing you say that, I think that's very true. And the sort of just like colourful nature of it all.
Yes.
Like it's so fun and vibrant.
And like the sunglasses are on all the time.
I love the sunglasses. His infinite supply of sunglasses.
Yeah. He always has it. Yeah, it's great.
And just the sound design in general, like I specifically really liked the way the sound of the tires skipping over the road when they did like their fishtailed out. Like usually you get that typical Hollywood screech, but this had this like I don't know, like jittery kind of squeak as they went around corners that was really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, all of that stuff was really awesome. Though I will say that I was a little disappointed that I just feel like it's sort of top heavy in terms of good action. Like I feel like it opens with the best car chase in the film and sort of it's sort of downhill from there, because I when it opened with that, which is the sort of the stuff you see in the trailer with him flicking the spike strip and doing that kind of like skid spin between the van and the truck or whatever it is down the alleyway, which is incredible. I was like, oh shit, we've like ticked off everything in the trailer. Like it's only up from here. Like I can't wait to see what else is going to happen. And then it was kind of like nothing else really happened in terms of car stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. I think I loved the third act. And I loved the look of John Hamm in that police van with like the red on his face and he's like slamming Queen really loudly, but the movie doesn't really come to a climax of a car chase necessarily.
How does it not end with a car chase? That's such a weird decision. Like,
it ends with a car battle in a parking lot. But there's something about being in the parking lot that is less exciting.
Definitely.
To me.
Yeah,
I agree. It's more confined. And all they can kind of do is bash into each other, which is sort of what it turns into. I loved it, but yeah, I think upon reflection, you're right that some of the most impressive stuff is sort of at the start.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting to hear you say about the romance-y stuff being kind of not cartoony, but heightened and, you know, not realistic, which I completely agree with.
I mean, like a musical.
Exactly, and I really like the later romantic stuff. Like the dinner scene is really great, where it's kind of again choreographed to music with the camera rotating around them, and there's just like little gestures that are matching the sounds and the song.
Good. Yeah,
that stuff I loved. It was more the very first diner scene. So it was just something about the dialogue, and I really seem to be in the minority here, but it was Deborah. I can't remember the actress's name, but Deborah's performance. There was something about. It felt like it was meant to be this awkward kind of exchange, but she was almost delivering her lines like a beat or half a beat too quickly to his responses or something. It was just something felt
I know what you mean.
Off to me about that whole thing. I don't know. It just didn't click for me until later on, and then I was sort of okay with the relationship.
I felt the same way about the diner scenes. Once they got to the laundromat is where it clicked for me. And I sort of realized what Edgar Wright was trying to do. And, you know, you get reminded of La La Land and stuff in that in that laundromat scene, I think. It's quite
similar. The colors and the background and stuff.
Exactly.
Sort
of yeah. Yeah. Same with the dinner scene, very much like La La Land. And the opening Steadicam shot, I also was reminded of La La Land, or just musicals in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, the diner scene, yeah, it takes a while to find that groove, and perhaps even for like Edgar Wright and the actors to find it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, obviously they wouldn't have shot in order, but somehow that sort of opening dialogue is a little strange, I think.
Yeah, there's something about the rhythm to it that was a bit odd for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But having said that, I did love the relationship between Baby and his stepdad, the deaf...
that was great.
...stepfather, and the way he kind of listened to music by putting his hand on the speaker, which came back at the end as well. Like, this, there are touches of this sort of, like, Edgar Wright, how he links.
Yes.
Like, almost everything is a setup to a payoff later on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not quite as intricate as some of his other films, but there's still stuff there. Like, I like that moment. And just the whole relationship, when he leaves the stepdad at the sort of old folks' home and records that little recording, and then the stepdad, like, does the sign for, like, are you going to be okay or whatever? And he says, I don't know, or something like that, or will you be back or something like that. I was like, I almost teared up. Like, I was really emotionally invested in that relationship, perhaps more so than the romantic relationship, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you felt it, definitely felt more of an actual emotional connection with... the stepdad. I think what I liked about the relationship was that it felt like a movie, a good movie relationship, a good classic boy meets girl.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to get out of town. They're young and they just want to, you know, be free. Not necessarily attached to it emotionally, but just as a story arc, a classic sort of movie archetype. I think I like that kind of stuff when it's done well. Like, as I said, I could have seen this movie ending with them driving off, and it almost fakes you into thinking that's going to happen with, you know, something music from like Drive over the top of it, like some really 80s, you know, heavy on the drums kind of thing. And it almost does that, but then... he goes to prison. So I'm curious, actually, what you thought of that ending, because I didn't expect that at all. I thought it was going to be quite a Hollywood ending.
Like a heroic where he kind of like busts through the police line or something and they flee off.
Yeah, or just the police aren't even there. Somehow drive off. Yeah.
No, I really liked that. I thought that was great. And I like, even just back to stylistically, when he's in prison and it like literally strips all the color out of everything and it's all, everything's white. Cool. And there's even like a laundry scene where everything's white and there's just white sheets in the dryers. And it's just like a nice callback to the beginning. And it's part of like the heart of the film as well, where there's sort of like calls back to all the, or a few characters throughout that sort of give glowing, you know,
yes,
recount the moments they had with him and give him like really positive, testimony or whatever, you know, to sort of help him not get a long sentence, I suppose. And it was just, I don't know, there was just something really nice about that. Like, he was a genuinely nice kid, you know? There wasn't anything cynical about it. But I also, like, having criticised the film for not having much thematic depth, I think that's where, like, the theme does sort of work. Like, I feel like it's kind of about him facing things, you know, like, so he has to face what he's did at the end and ends up in prison, like, accepts the responsibility for it. So I think it's like, you know, the whole thing, he has this tinnitus and he kind of blocks it out by putting his headphones in. And you notice, like, he doesn't want to admit or face the fact that he's doing anything wrong or anything violent. Like, the second you never see any of the crime, which is another cool stylistic thing. Like, you're with baby the whole time. And the heist kind of just happens in the background, or not even in the background, just happens, and they come back out. But I think, like, that's thematically purposeful in the sense that he's blocking that off. He's not acknowledging the fact that he's sort of part of this world. And I think it's really obvious in the second one, where second heist, where they sort of jump out of the car and then he just like drives forward. And the camera's locked with him, and it just blocks
violence. Yeah.
And then when he drives back and he looks and he could see like someone's been shot, and he's kind of like horrified by that. But deliberately sort of, you know, got the blinders on. So I think like the fact that he has to then face that at the end and go to prison works. It would be much better than him sort of just getting away from the cops, I suppose.
Yeah.
I liked all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good reading.
And I also liked there was, like, narrative purpose for the music in a lot of ways. You know, like, he not only was it to block out his tinnitus, but it was, like, a link to his parents. Both the driving, like, cars and the music. And his mum was a singer, like, hence the, you know, love for music. And also, like, when he... Not only does he, by the end, confront the violence of his situation, like, the first act of violence is to, like, use the car literally in the same way as his parents died and ram it into the thing to impale old mate with the pipes or whatever that was coming out.
Yeah.
So, like, I think there is a lot of, like, linky stuff there.
There definitely is, yeah. I think, you know, there's even that small thing where... he's like flicking through the channels and he sees like 2 seconds of Monsters, Inc. and then like repeats that line to Kevin Spacey and then gets called out again when he tries to say it at the end.
Yeah.
Which felt very Edgar Wright-ish. Definitely. And, you know, there's slight shades of Shaun of the Dead there where, he, you know, they're like flicking through the TV and that was cool.
Yeah. I think just like in general, I admire the fact that he's sort of... stepping away from the wink wink comedy satire.
Completely agree.
As much as I absolutely love those films, and, you know, as I said, probably rate them higher than this just on personal enjoyment, the fact that he's kind of like trying something new makes me so excited for where he's going to go next. Like, if he follows this into something else different and earnest and like, he's. That's super exciting.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's great. And it's nice to have... I mean, he did Scott Pilgrim, but it is nice to have a break from Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. I do think by the time World's End came around, that needed to be the last film in that sort of style. He's just such a talented filmmaker that... You know, I think one day he's going to deliver something. I want to see him deliver something, as you say, earnest, something that it even goes beyond this, because this is still sort of a cinema love letter Like, maybe he's not interested in doing a straight genre movie or drama, but he could, and it would be amazing. And I really would love to see him do something that would get me emotionally invested. I mean, the Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead do, but, you know, it's in a different way. And he's just so capable, and like anything he does is going to be impressive. And it's just so exciting to see where he could go.
Definitely. And I think that this has been doing amazingly well in the States, which is makes me so happy. I think that will hopefully give him both, you know, the clout within the industry to do something, whatever he sort of wants next, but also the confidence to pursue this line instead of falling back into like the Cornetto line of things with with his mates, you know.
Exactly. And Matt, how good is it that he left Ant-Man? I gotta say, that's a blessing, because if he had done that, I'm sure the movie would have been good. It was good anyway, but it would be like Ant-Man 2 would already be announced, you know, and maybe Baby Driver would come out in between, but it would still be like he's attached to Marvel now.
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad that he's off on his own and can do what he wants and keep doing original films. Like, although this is very homage-y to music and sort of action films in general, it's very original as well, you know. You've never really seen anything like this, like, as we were saying, an action musical, basically. And it's just so nice to go to the theatre and see that while there's all these trailers for sequels and reboots and all this sort of thing.
Definitely. I couldn't have said it better myself. Like, it feels like such a breath of fresh air, like, sitting down and watching a film like this. So, so, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I think if you owned a theatre that does double bills, you would have to do La La Land and then Baby Driver.
That would be an amazing double bill.
Awesome. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That would work very well.
So, overall, both super positive, even though I rank it lower in his filmography. Like, that's testament to...
It's a high bar.
Yeah. How much I fucking love every single thing that he's done. Yeah, great film, and everyone should go check it out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, as you say, everyone. I can't really see anyone not enjoying this movie. It's such a crowd pleaser, but in a very intelligent, thought out, fun way. You know, it's not a crowd pleaser in a dumbed down sort of way. It's so impressive, and I can't wait to see it again.
Me either.
Cool. Let's drive off into the sunset, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the pre-post film review. We'd love to hear what you guys thought of Baby Driver. Did you love it as much as John and I did? We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can shoot us an email at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com. We try to reply to all the emails that we get, so we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. We'd also love it if you guys would give us a like on Facebook. You can find us there. We're also on Twitter @prepostfr. Give us a follow. And it would be awesome if you could subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever the hell you're using to listen to this. That would be great. And give a little review if you want to do that. All very much appreciated. Thank you. We love you.
That would be good. You can also find John and myself on Letterboxd. Our profiles are in the show notes, where you can check out what else we've been watching. And join us next episode when we're going to be reviewing the new Christopher Nolan film, Dunkirk.
Mm. Yeah.
70mm IMAX.
IMAX, baby. IMAX, baby. We're all alone, all come to my room. We'll play, yes, we can play. I'm not talking about your pigtails. I'm talking about your sex appeal. And the road in the bar. What's my number? this baby is a good baby.
Been a busy boy. You got all week to do it now.
Busy baby boy.
Thirsty boy.
Some good sounds for the stinger.
Oh, yeah.
Make everyone gag at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Someone's just like on a bus and just...